Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Heart, an outreach ministry of New Vision for Life Church. Our ministry website is www.newvisionforlife.com, where we align our heart with the heart of God. Please join our hosts, Apostle Eddie Banks and Minister Tamika Garnes, as we get to the heart of the matter.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Good morning, beloved. Good morning, good morning. This is Apostle Etta Banks, your host here on Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. Also, the pastor of New Vision for Life Church. That's right. I think it's the best church in the world. I can't help myself. But good morning to you all. It is another great and wonderful day to be alive, to say thank you, Jesus, for all that you have done for me. I want to say good morning. Well, first of all, let me give a great big shout out to my brother, Andre, better known to us as Michael, his middle name. Say happy birthday to him. Bless the Lord. He made it. He made it. He made it another year. And I just, you know, wanted to give him a personal shout out. So God bless you, brother. God bless you. And then, of course, to Tamika Shelton, God bless you, woman of God. I pray for you. I thank God for you. And I just know that God is working in your life and using you, even when you don't realize you are being used. So good morning to you. Another special good morning to Patsy Anderson, who is the woman that introduced Tamika and myself to, or Tamika and me, to Blog Talk Radio. She is the one that shared with us, you know, about the radio and having radio time and so forth. And she got a bunch of women started in radio. And so many of us, after being with her for several years, you know, shot off and went and did our own shows. And all of them have been very, very successful. So Patsy Anderson, happy new year to you, darling, and God bless you tremendously. God bless you. Happy new year. That's a happy new year. Good morning to Joyce Richardson, Tamika's mother. Good morning to you, my love. I thank you for your love and support, you know, starting out another year. I thank you. You've been with me from day one, And I just truly thank the Lord for you. There is none like you. Good morning to Joyce in New York. God bless you, woman of God. May the Lord continue to take care of you and your family, and may you constantly be encouraged by what God is doing in your life. Good morning to Prophetess Kim. We love you. God bless you, woman of God. Good morning to Isaiah in Chicago, Isaiah in Pennsylvania. Good morning to Michelle. Praise be unto God. Good morning to Prophetess Dawn. Good morning to the Crawfords in Tennessee. That's Prophet and Songbird Crawford. Good morning to you all. Good morning, amen, to my cousins in North Carolina. God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. Just a host of people, there's just so many people. And you know Deacon Thomas Farr, good morning to you, Deacon Thomas Farr. For those of you that are new to the show, Deacon Thomas Farr, was one of our callers at one time, and he began to ask a lot of questions and engage with me during our show. And in his engagement, from there, praise be unto God, he became our guest host. And then from there, he too started his own show, and a very successful one. And it is called Issues, Christian Men Talk. Issues, Christian Men Talk. So in other words, Christian men are talking about the issues that men have in their relationships with themselves, their wives, their children, their spiritual walk, etc. So these are issues that Christian men talk about. And I encourage all of the guests on our show or the callers on this show, I encourage you to listen to his shows. You can go to Facebook and find the Issues Christian Men Talk. It has its own page. Or find Thomas Farr, and on his page, it will be announced on his page. And go to there and get it. And encourage the men in your household to listen. And listen, I got news for you, women. I've got news for you. If you men don't listen, it's okay. You need to listen. That's right. We need to listen to hear what it is that the men are talking about, what their concerns are, what the issues are, what the resolutions are, how they're being advised by other men of God, and the struggles that they go through to help us get a better understanding of the men in our lives. And those men could be your father, your brother, your cousin, your son, you know, your nephew, but they're people that we are dealing with, men that we are dealing with, that the information from this show, Issues Christian Men Talk, with host Deacon Thomas Farr, there are things that we need to know, and I just truly encourage you to go forth and listen to the show. Okay. All righty. Minister Tabika, good morning to you, my love. Good morning.
Good morning, beloved. How are you?
I am blessed and highly favored. Thank the good Lord. Thank the good Lord. And is there someone that you would like to say good morning to?
Good morning. I just want to say good morning to our listeners. We're grateful that you're with us this morning, and thank you so much for taking time out of your Saturday morning to be with us. You could be doing anything else, but you took the time to be here, and we greatly appreciate that. I always say that we don't take your time for granted, and we don't. We do truly appreciate you supporting us through this radio show, and we just say thank you. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, also, now, with that, I want to encourage all of you, to please share this show with other people. One of our callers, Joyce in New York, when y'all hear me speak of her, and, you know, and I say good morning to her every week, and Joyce in New York was referred to our show by Deacon Thomas Farr, and she has been faithful on these calls ever since, and so that's been a couple of years, a few years that's been now. And you too can recommend the show to other people. If you're on Facebook, share it on your Facebook page. If, tag people, send text messages out, you know, the night before and let people know that we're on or coming on. Do it this morning, even right now while I'm speaking. Go ahead and tag someone or call someone. The name of the show this morning is Misconception About Marriage. So we will, you know, get more into that. But go ahead and let somebody else know about the show. The other thing that I want to remind you of is the fact that all of our shows are archived. All of them are recorded and archived. So you can always come back to, I started to say New Vision for Life. You can always come back to blogtalkradio.com. I can't remember right now whether it's Heart to Heart or Apostle Banks. I cannot remember at the very precise moment. But you can just go to blogtalkradio.com and pull up Heart, the number two, Heart, Heart to Heart. Pull it up, and you'll get a, you can get the list of all of our shows, and you can listen to any one of them at any given time. Listen to it at your leisure. So I encourage you to do that more and more and more. Definitely encourage you to do that. And as a favor to me, do it, because this also shows Blog Talk, you know, that people are interested in the show, and it helps to increase the numbers as far as those that are listening online. And last but not least, look, I'm laughing to myself before I give you my last but not least. I'm laughing to myself because I feel like I'm my daughter who does our greeting at the church every Sunday morning. And, you know, she tells us, you know, we, whatever the preliminaries are, you know, we greet the folks and tell you where the bathroom is. There's a thing, what is that called, Tabika? The
welcome.
The welcome. Okay, thank you, beloved. You know, she does the welcome and so forth and so on. So that's basically, you know, what I'm doing here. And but the last but not least thing is that this show is only successful because of you. And there are shows, you know, where the only person that's on the show is the host. The host comes up with a topic and does 30 minutes or an hour, even 2 hours of talking themselves and giving you very vital information, interesting information, and the show is very successful. The show is successful when it has just the host and the co-host, like Minister Tabika and I, and we just sit and talk with one another, and the show is very successful. But for Heart to Heart to be successful, that not only consists of me or Minister Tabika and me talking, it consists of you talking with us. What's on your heart about the subject that we're talking about? What questions you may have? What experiences have you had that you would like to share with the listening audience? Remember, your testimonies and what things, your experiences, those things help somebody else. So here on Heart to Heart, our joy, our pleasure is when you press 1 on your keypad and let us know that you want to join the conversation. And when you do that, you would be surprised at the smiles we get on our face. We love hearing from you. Now, I love Minister Tabika. She loves me. We love talking to one another, but we both prefer to talk to you during this hour from 9 until 10 on Saturday mornings. So text somebody, call somebody, let them know the show is on, and then you press 1 on your keypad so that you can speak directly with us. And then that helps you to speak to the thousands of people that are listening on the air. Amen, amen, amen. Well, as I go into prayer, I want us to know and first thank Minister Tabika and her husband, Elder Mark, for last week as they did the keys to a successful marriage. I believe that's what it was last week. And they did that and did it very well. I was under the weather, but praise be unto God, I am back. I am in the saddle again, on the saddle again, in it, on it, whatever. But I'm riding that horse. That's all that matters. I am up and at them. And so I thank them for such an awesome job. And we have the honor of Elder Mark being with us again today as we talk about more about marriage. And isn't it good to hear what the men have to say while we're doing this? This is so awesome. So I'm excited. And just so that you will know, it is our plan that we will be talking about marriages for the month of January. Now, this is our fasting month at New Vision. We fast every January. So in that time of fasting, we are looking to have a closer encounter with God, a much closer encounter with God. And we want to hear from him. We want to be consumed by him. So we die to ourselves, die to our flesh, so that we can get more of Christ. You know, yes, we want more. We want more. And what better time is it than to also put your marriages, your relationships on the altar before God? Whatever it is that you have going on in your marriage, if it's a bad marriage, this is a great time to be fasting and praying. If it's a good time, I mean a good marriage, this is a great time to be fasting and praying. If it's a great marriage, this is a great time to be fasting and praying. In other words, are you getting the hint? No matter where you are in your marriage, this is a great time to be fasting and praying for your relationship. So once again, that is our intent for the month of January. We will be talking about marriages. So this way you know in advance. So go ahead and line your friends up, line your mate up, whomever it is, your children that are in relationships, get them all to tune into Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. Amen. Amen. Now let us go into prayer. Hallelujah, Lord God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Father God, we thank you, we honor you, we bless you, we magnify your holy name, because you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You are the great I Am, the Alpha and the Omega, and there is none like you. We thank you so much for this day, for this is the day that you have made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for taking us safely through the night, bringing us to this place where once again we have another opportunity to praise you, to honor you, to bless you, to magnify your holy name. An awesome, awesome opportunity to do so. And God, we thank you, Lord God, for your grace and your mercy that keeps us, that follows us, that's there with us, that greets us every day that we open our eyes. God, we thank you for this in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, forgive us for any sins that we have committed, whether they be in word, thought, or deed. Forgive us, Lord God. And as you forgive us, we receive your forgiveness, Father. And because we have been made in your image, we choose to forgive those who have hurt us, harmed us, sinned against us, disillusioned us, disappointed us, did anything negative to us. God, we forgive in the name of Jesus. And we repent for those things that we've done, Father. We repent. We turn away from them. And we come running back to you. Lord, there's no place that we would rather be than to be in your presence. So we thank you for that today, oh God. Be with us on this show. Lord, let the information that is shared here today, let it make a difference in somebody's life, Lord God. Let it cause people to get the true realization of what it is that the misconceptions are about marriage, and the biblical truths of marriage. So with that being said, Holy Spirit, come forth. You do what you do best. Do it here today. Meet the needs of God's people. Meet the needs of those that we're praying for. Meet our needs and continue to lead us and guide us according to your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. 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 Praise be unto God. Of course, I had to cough. Oh, my goodness. All righty, beloved. Well, we are going to get started here. And let me present to most of you. I see there are a couple of new callers on today. So let me present to most of you and introduce to some of you this awesome, magnificent, marvelous couple that I love. And they happen to be members of the best church in the world, and that is New Vision for Life. Hallelujah. They got an awesome, awesome pastor. Praise be unto God. I'm not going to tell you who that is right now. But anyway, let me introduce to you Elder Mark and his lovely wife, Minister Tabika Garnes. God bless you, woman and man of God. God bless you.
Amen. 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 God bless you, beloved. That was an awesome introduction. We thank God for that. Thank you so much.
Amen.
Amen. So real quick, I got to share this funny moment that just happened. So while Apostle was praying, our dog is hungry. So as he's walking around the hardwood floor, so you can hear his little feet tapping on the floor as he's walking around, and I'm like, he can't walk around. They're gonna hear him walking around, and so I asked Mark where his food was because the dog was hungry. So Mark, he was like, if I move, he's gonna walk behind me, and they're gonna hear him walking around. So he snatched the dog up and went running towards the food, the area where his food was, so he could get the stuff and feed him. It was the funniest moment. I know I'm doing this because I know he's out of breath right now, so I'm giving him a moment to catch his breath.
Apostle, so I just read you like I'm out of shape or nothing. I'm in good shape. I was already running across the room.
Yeah, but that was a funny scene. So I figured I'd share that before we go into, you know, this good information that we have.
Amen.
So we, as Apostle said, that this month we'll still be talking about marriage, because we heard some of you say you wanted to hear more on certain topics. So we heard you, and we're going to do our best to make that happen. We also, again, just want to say thank you for even, you know, expressing those things, that those shows that really touched your heart, and more that you want to hear. So, you know, we appreciate that. When we ask questions, it's because that helps us to determine our shows. So we thank you again for letting us know which shows touched your heart and what you wanted to hear more of. So this morning we'll be talking about misconceptions of marriage, and the first one I'm gonna let Mark speak on this one. So I'm gonna give, you know, him his time right now. Here, Mark.
Amen. Well, we took the time to look at some of the myths and the truths of marriage, and we found an article that talked about five myths. And the first myth we looked at was marriage will rid you of your sin. And initially we were kind of like, we need to skip over that one because it'd be so controversial, because, you know, the idea of marriage just will rid you of your sin. And then we kind of took the time to think more about it and what it means. And I thought about, as I was talking to my wife about it this morning, just in preparation for the show, that a lot of times in marriage, when we're married, we think that the things that were our sin, that were that we lived, the life we lived before marriage, now gets hidden behind our marriage. So the person that's close to us, the things that we've done, the things that we've lived, the things that we even still do, now because we're married, that person can ignore those things along with us. But the truth about it is you don't hide those things. Those things aren't hidden in marriage. What God does is allow the person beside us, allows our spouse to see those things, and those things are even the deeper roots of those things are exposed to that person that's right beside you, because they see your experience, they see your life walk even closer than. It's almost like, you know, you hear so many times, you got to meet a person's representative rather than the person. And when you're that close to somebody, you can't just, you're no longer hiding the things that were there. So you're not masking over or getting rid of the things that you dealt with, because just because you got married, who you are didn't change. Marriage doesn't change who you are. marriage, it more illuminates your thoughts, your ideas, your understanding, your ideology, what you live by. It's illuminated. And what you have to do in marriage is grow together so those things can change and become a better person. But marriage itself, just saying I do, doesn't change who you are. You change with the person. So a lot of times I think we look at the marriages, the myth of marriage will just eliminate the sin in our life. It won't. It doesn't eliminate the sin because we still walk as the same people. And the person beside you now sees even more of what you're going through because they see you so much closer. So I think we really need to understand that that's truly a myth. Just because you're married doesn't mean you're going to get rid of all the sin in your life. Any comment, Apostle?
No, that was very good. A lot of people do, you know, have the concept that marriage will eliminate the sin. And let me just say this. I said no, and here I am, right, talking. One of the scriptures that people may use, you know, when it tells us in the Bible that it is better to marry than to burn, and that is speaking about, you know, the lust or the sexual desires that we have, and we're not supposed to be having sex before marriage, and so rather than to burn in our inner parts, you know, fighting this urge and so forth and so on, you know, that if we're with the right person, it is better for us to get married than to fall into sin. And that is one of the places where people will take that thought that marriage will eliminate or erase the sin in our lives. And as you explained, sir, that is not the case. That is not the case. And in this case, in using even that scripture, if someone has an issue with lust, and not lust for one person, but lust period, a lust issue, you getting married is not going to eliminate you lusting after other people or being free with giving yourselves or sharing your body with other people. Getting married is not going to eliminate that if that is an issue. And as Pastor Mark, as Elder Mark said, it, some people hide behind it, they try to cover it up and so forth. You know, even when it comes down to the whole thing with a bisexual and homosexuality, and people being on a DL and so forth, you can get married to try to cover that up. But if that is something that you are dealing with, it will come out. It will come out, and if it doesn't come out soon, it's a thing of you will still do that. That's why DL is called on, you know, the DL, you're on the down low. You're still doing it even though you're married. You know, you're still having affairs with other people, even though you're married. So marriage does not, that is a myth. It does not erase the sin in your life. Okay, I'm through. Go ahead, children. God bless.
Thank you, Apostle. And yes, man, you did exactly what I hoped you would. And to add into what I was saying, and of course, we do think about the sex of, you know, a lot of people think about marriage is be okay to do everything that you want to do with the person you're with, whether it is in a heterosexual or homosexual marriage, whatever,
mm-hmm.
Or relationship. It allows the person to just do all the things that they wanted to do that was spoke of as, you know, it's wrong, it's, you know, to have sex before marriage. And everybody thinks, well, if I get married, then that means I can do everything I want to. And I think I thank you, Apostle, for bringing that or speaking on that. But also even more, I think people think that sin isn't always about our sexual immoralities, but they are a very true basis for what we do, our lust, our desire to do things. Because lust isn't always about wanting to have sex. Lust is the things that we desire that take us away from our relationship with God. If we lust over food, if we lust over anything, but in marriage, I think we try to mask who we are because we have a person that we can say is our confidant, so we can hide everything in our quote-unquote bedchamber. Everything is hidden behind closed doors where no one else can see it. But as this, as we are learning with looking at this myth, the person beside you is the one who God will allow to rescue you in that. They'll be your agent. That's the one who God will show the most of those inner thoughts and secrets that you have or think you're hiding. They're the ones that will be the advocate that sees those very things, and those things are exposed. Even when it comes to things like alcoholism, the drug use, you think you're hiding all that. You've given this person a representation, but then when they get to know you, they find out what really has been going on in your mind, what you've really been going through, and what you really desire and lust about.
Amen.
Thank you. All right, so the next one is marriage will meet your expectations.
Oh,
so, yeah. So, yeah, because some people get married for the wrong reasons, just like we just discussed in the very first one. And sometimes we come into marriage with unrealistic expectations. We want our spouse to do everything for us. And you know, that thing that came from back in the day where the woman is the one that cooks, cleans, take care of the children, take them to school, pick them up, all those things dealing with the children. And then the man is the one that goes to work and makes the money. And then that's it. So, or be the protector of the house. And you know, that, you know, that's it. And so if we come into marriages with that type of expectation, and it's in this day and time, it may be unrealistic. Sometimes it's the other way around. Sometimes, you know, it may be the woman because the man can't physically, he has some type of disability, whatever may be going on, the woman may have to be the one to go out and make the money and bring the money home. And in some cases, the man is now the one that's taking care of the children while the woman is at work. And people may look down on that like, ooh, that's not how that's supposed to go. But the thing is, it's between you and your spouse. Whatever you guys agree upon, it's an agreement. It's like, okay, if that is what works in your marriage, that's what works in your marriage. You know, you guys agreed on that. You're fine with that. Let it be. And don't let people now come and speak into, you know, your marriage and try to rip that apart because they feel like that's not the way that it's supposed to go. But when we come into a marriage with all these expectations, and then when the people can't meet them, if your marriage was based on those things, it's going to fall apart because you got to come in knowing that one person is going to feel a different way about something you may feel strongly about. The other person may not feel that strongly about. You may have grown up with all these different traditions and whatever you grew up with, and the other person didn't have that. So you got to know that the expectations that we come into a marriage with may not happen, and we have to be ready for that because everyone's marriage becomes something they didn't intend it to be. So sometimes we're required to deal with things we just didn't plan to face. And so, you know, sometimes marriage will in sin complicates what otherwise would be simple. So again, we're coming into a marriage, you know, one person has this group of whatever they're coming into the marriage with, group of thoughts, group of opinions, group of things they grew up with, what they saw their parents' marriage look like, you know, and then you may have the other person who didn't see that their parents weren't married, so they didn't have the example of what marriage looks like. And then maybe their parents were married, but then the example that the parents gave them was not a good one. So we're coming into marriages with all this stuff. Sometimes we come into marriages with baggage that happened in other relationships. We come into our marriage with these things, and that can kill our marriage if we don't deal with it. And so before we get married, these are the things that we should talk about. That's why some people believe in going to marriage counseling. Some people don't believe in that. But when you go to marriage counseling, you know, saving, what is it, Apostle, saving your marriage before it starts?
That's it. That's it.
Yes. Amen. It's called, it's the acronym is SIMBIS, Saving Your Marriage Before It Starts. Apostle Banks does this with the new couples before they get married, because you need to know the background of this person that you're going to marry. You don't want to go into it blind. You want to know the things that they experienced. You want to know how they were raised. You want to know the different things they went through in previous relationships, because you want to know how to engage with that person. You may have to minister to the person even through that. So, you know, having that before you're getting married is a good thing. So don't let people tell you, you know, if you got to go to marriage counseling, you know, or you got to seek counseling before you're even married, why get married? No, that's not what it's about. It's knowing the person that you're about to marry, because people can do real good with covering stuff up. They can do real good with that. You know, they can sit in your face and tell you all these things. And we know that it happens, because when you're dating somebody, they show you all these, they talk a lot. They tell you what they can do. But then after you're married, you're like, okay, who is this person? You know, what happened to that person when we were dating? What happened to that person? So you want to kind of dig deeper into people's lives, because you don't, a lot of us get blindsided once we get married. And then things come out the woodwork from their past that they didn't share. And sometimes when you have biblical counseling before marriage, there are some things that come out before you get married, which, if it's not of God, that could have been your moment right there. Okay, that's not even waste this money or spending all these thousands of dollars getting married. Let's just let it go right here. So it's a good thing to have that one-on-one, that counseling with, you know, somebody who knows what they're doing, somebody who's been through it, somebody that can help you see. Because sometimes we're so blinded by love. Mm-hmm. Love is a good thing, but sometimes we're so blinded by it that we miss things. We miss warning signs, because it could be the lust that is overshadowing what's really going on. It could be just the fact that I don't want to be lonely anymore, so I'm just going to go into this because I don't want to be lonely no more. It could be I've been waiting so long to get married, and now I found the one, and he's not really the one, or she's not really the one, but you waited so long, and you're tired of waiting, so that you just do it anyway. And then a year from your marriage date, you're no longer married. So, you know, sometimes expectations can kill a marriage if they're not realistic ones. Apostle, you have anything you want to share on that one?
No, beloved. You know, I always have a lot to share, and I am holding my – I am trying so much to hold my peace here so that you can get more in. But that's okay. Uh-huh. If we don't get it all covered, praise be unto God, there is still next week, folks, and that'll give you a chance to get somebody else to the show to hear it live. Amen. To hear it live. So while I'm saying that, remember, this is Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. If you have a question or a remark, experience, whatever the case may be, press 1 on your keypad and join in the conversation with us. Go ahead, beloved. God bless you.
Amen.
Amen. Apostle, just one thing, and to the listeners, one thing I wanted to share about expectations. A lot of times, and I love what my wife shared, because that truly helped us with our marriage counseling and just preparation for our marriage, which I think is a direct result of why we have the marriage that we have, 12 going on to 13 wonderful years, which is unheard of for people our age in this day and time. But another thing about expectation is not necessarily about the person you're going to marry, but that marriage will change your situation. It's the dream of the, you know, I'm going to get married and now I have the house with the white picket fence. Like, everything about life is just going to get right because I'm married. That's a big expectation. And when people have those expectations, the problem is not expecting things to change. The problem is feeling let down when they don't.
a lot of times we set these high expectations and we express the expectations. But when our situations, not only the person, but just our situations as far as, let's say, our finances don't match up to the expectation. You figured, okay, well, we're getting married. Our money's going to look better. Everything's going to change. You know, we lived in the city. Now we can move to the county. Now we can have the big house with the nice yard and the picket fence and the two-car garage and the driveway. But when you get married and you go home and you still got the bills from marriage, you still got the bills from the honeymoon, and you're thinking, wait a minute, I thought everything was going to change, and it didn't. That's when those expectations turned into the reason that you start to resent the person you're beside. So before you go into your marriage, as my wife said, make sure that you discuss those things. Have someone who can give you a biblical guidance, give you biblical leadership on, for even that, just mediating your understanding and your desires of each other. I always say this, and I share it with the men so many times, and it's a coined phrase, but the application of logic to stupidity is a futile attempt. And what that means is, the way, just as my wife said, our experiences shape our lives. So what you go through and how you live, what you've seen, is provides your level of logic. But what doesn't make sense to you or someone else's way of living may seem stupid, but that's only because their life was shaped different. So you can't apply your life experiences and expect that it will shape their understanding just in the same way as they can't apply their life experiences and expect that it changes your understanding. Together, you have to have the life experiences that changes both of your expectations so your logic matches up. So those things that are that seem stupid get left behind, and you can move together as one mind, one body, and one soul, as we're called to in marriage. To you, my dear.
Amen.
Amen. So the third myth is another big one. Being in a relationship with someone you love is easy. Wow. I love my wife. I love my wife to life, but it's seldom easy. Not loving her is hard. That's not what I mean. Not loving her is hard, but walking in love is not easy, because to really love someone, you have to be willing to sacrifice yourself. And if you're not willing to sacrifice yourself, sacrificing what you desire is hard work. Because prior to marriage, your existence, even when you have children, it's about satisfying your needs. When you are married and in a relationship and you love someone, it's not easy, because now you have to worry about their needs. That's your place. That's your position, to worry about their needs as well, along with your needs. And so many times when you're going through something, 90% of the time, I'm going to say more than 90% of the time, you're not thinking about someone else and their problem when you're dealing with your problem. But when you're married, you have to think about that other person as a part of the problem. Even if they're not the reason for the problem, they're still a part of the problem with you, because they're walking with you every day. So it's not easy just because you're in a relationship with somebody you love. It's not easy. It makes it easier to have somebody to walk with you through a situation, but it's not easy just because you're in love. To you, my dear.
Amen. Amen. And that, I think sometimes we get caught up in being married. And I mean, we get caught up in the, sometimes people have this fantasy of what marriage looks like. And when we're preparing for marriage, I think we kind of forget that there is another person that's in this marriage with you. So when you come into a marriage, it's no longer you. It's no longer you have to think about. It's no longer you have to cook for. It's no longer you that whose clothes you may have to wash. It's no longer you. And so it's like now when you go get yourself something to eat, you got to think about your spouse. Oh, I got to get my spouse something. Let me call and see what he or she wants. So it's basically changing your mind from thinking about yourself and remembering that there's another person walking along beside you. And so, you know, sometimes when we come into marriages, some people still come with that selfishness where it's all about them, and they really haven't grasped the fact that there is somebody else beside them now that they have to think about. And so that means that we have to give up parts of ourselves, meaning that, okay, you may wanted to go see a basketball game, but your wife does not feel well. So you got to make the decision, am I going to go to this basketball game, or am I going to stay home and take care of my wife? And that's the place where some people aren't ready for. And the selfishness is, well, I already paid my money, and I was looking forward to going to this basketball game, and I want to still go. But your wife, it doesn't feel well. And so for some people, that's a hard decision to make. Others, it's not. Others, oh, no, my wife don't feel good. He called his buddies up. Y'all, I can't go. Give my tickets to whomever. My wife's not feeling well. I'm going to stay here with her and make sure she's okay. You know, that's what we're supposed to do. But when you're technically, your mind hasn't grasped the fact that you have to give up your will, sometimes the things that you want to do, it's not about you anymore, just you. You know, somebody else is now involved. That's the things that we have to get our minds and our hearts ready for when it comes to marriage. It's not just, you know, we spent $16,000 on getting married, and then that's what happens. We spent $16,000 on getting married and don't know what's next. We don't know how to move from that one day where we spent that $16,000, where, you know, our families and our friends enjoyed themselves for one day, and now the week after we get married, we looking at bills that we don't know how we're going to pay. And that will cause, you know, money issues is a big cause for marriage to end. And so,
amen.
Amen. So we, all these things we got to talk about, all these things, we got to know what we're going to spend, even though we're not married yet. When it comes to preparing for marriage during that wedding day, there should be a budget. Know what it is you can afford, because you still got to live the day after you get married. And so let not that be an issue the next day after your marriage. When you come back from your honeymoon, you're looking at bills and you're like, oh, we don't have no money. And now you got an attitude with your spouse, but it's not your spouse's fault. It's both of you all's fault. You should have been prepared for that. Don't spend more than you have. And, you know, sometimes when I look back on our marriage, we had a great wedding. We had a great wedding. But, you know, sometimes I think, like, man, we could have had all that money to ourselves if we just had a small wedding, and that would have been that, you know. Because, again, it's not for the people. It's about the husband and the wife. That's what it's about. But I wouldn't take nothing back from, you know, our wedding day. I wouldn't take
not.
Oh, boo. I wouldn't take anything. I would not take anything back, and I don't regret anything, you know, from our wedding day. But again, being in a relationship with you, with someone you love, this says it's easy. That's a myth. It is not. It's not easy. We would want it to be, you know, we would want everything to go our way all the time, you know, but it can't. It just simply can't go our way all the time, because if we don't fail in something, if we don't mess up, how is that helping us to grow? How is that helping us to mature if we always get our way and stuff? And so even in this, just be prepared to have your feelings hurt. And I'm saying that, like, be prepared to have your feelings hurt, because the person is not always going to say the right thing. That's something that may come out that may hurt your feelings. So just be prepared to deal with that. Don't walk around with your head hanging low, the woe is me, he did, he said this or she said this, and I can't forgive him or her. No, things are going to happen. So prepare yourself for it to happen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I'm sorry, baby, if I could. Let me interject there real quick, please. That is something that is so vitally important that I hear a lot of during marriage counseling, that if he loved me or if she really loved me, she wouldn't have done such and such, or she wouldn't hurt me. You don't hurt the people you love. Beloved, that is a trick of the enemy. That is the trick of the enemy. The most ultimate love that we will ever experience is the love of Jesus Christ. And look at the hurt that was given him. Look at how he was punished, how he even became sin, and he was punished for our sins. So somebody that we eventually get to the place that we love, because we didn't love him to begin with. We eventually get to the place that we love. He was hurt for us. And then in our relationships, as it has been stated, there are going to be things that are said, things that come from old beliefs, old habits, our environment, all of those things that will come into our marriages. And yes, we will get offended. Our feelings are hurt about it or by it. We are disappointed by it. And that person loves us with everything in them to the best of their ability. What they view as love and what you view as love could be totally two different things, hence the premarital counseling part. But in this still, or however, in this, know that there is not going to be a lifetime relationship where somebody's feelings aren't hurt. And because that person hurt you does not mean that they do not love you. Let me also say that somebody beating your behind and saying, I'm doing this because I love you, the devil is a liar, okay? That may be their concept of love, because that is what was given to them as children. They were beaten and beaten and beaten and said, I did it because I love you. I'm doing this because I love you. So then they grow up doing domestic violence things, saying, I'm doing this because I love you. Saints of God, be mindful. Love, along with love, there's some pain. There's ups and downs. There are hurts. We are able to get through the majority of it with the help of the Holy Spirit and the understanding of God being the center of it. We can get through these things, but the myth that marriage is easy is truly a falsehood. All right, beloved, thank you for letting me share that.
Yes, anytime, beloved, anytime. All right. So the next one is forgiveness is merely a horizontal transaction. So what you have to understand that forgiveness is a vertical commitment that is followed by a horizontal transaction. So, you know, both aspects of forgiveness are essential in the order, in that order. And so we're going to be, like we just said just a few minutes ago, having our feelings hurt, you know. We're going to be wronged in word or action by our husbands or, you know, our wives. And it's not that, again, people grow up with stuff that they've never dealt with as young people or when it happened or as they got older, so they just grew up with that stuff. So the way that they may deal with stuff is not the way that you may agree with. And so there are going to be times in a marriage where you're going to have to forgive. It's just inevitable. You're going to have to forgive. And you can't just sit around in your marriage and hold on to unforgiveness, because, number one, you got to see this person every day. every day. Sometimes it's all day long, you know. You may go to work and come home, but you got to see this person. So, and when you sit and you hold unforgiveness, it's easier for it to manifest. It's easier and quick. It happens quicker to manifest that bitterness in our hearts. And then it allows the enemy to have a foothold in our marriage because now we're sitting because, you know, unforgiveness is a sin. So we're sitting here, we're holding on to this unforgiveness towards our husband or our wife. And, again, we got to see this person every day. So that means that you're seeing this person every day and y'all not talking because somebody said something that hurt your feelings. So now you guys aren't talking, and you're sitting in the same house with each other every day. And so we just have to be careful with that because now that allows the enemy to have his way, and he'll start those little dumb lies that he does. Since she's not talking to you, or since he's not talking to you, why don't you go call such and such? You know, share this with such and such and see what they say. And so now you done called such and such, which was from your past, and you've opened the door because now you guys are having disagreements in your marriage. And instead of, you know, dealing with it between you all, now you've invited somebody from your past into the situation. And you know people from your past, if they still, you know, have some feeling for you, they're not going to be on your side. They're going to tell you exactly what you want to hear. So we just got to be careful with, you know, holding on to unforgiveness because you got to give the offense to the Lord. You know, it doesn't mean that you act as if something wrong is right, but it means that you do not carry the wrong with you, and that's that bitterness, and that you don't treat the other in light of the wrong, the judgment. And, you know, you still treat each other with respect because you made a covenant unto the Lord, and you have to hold on to that covenant. You know, hold on to that covenant. Don't allow the enemy to have his way in your marriage. When you see little red flags, you know, identify, deal with it. Identify it and deal with it. Because when the enemy starts speaking and you start listening, and then you start carrying out these things that he's speaking, it's oh my goodness, it's going to be a lot to come back from. So just be mindful when things are going on in your marriage. Be quick to forgive. If you can't deal with it, you know, that moment, come back to it. Don't let it fester, and don't just kick it under the rug and figure, oh, it'll go away. Amen, Mark.
Amen, amen. I just think that, you know, when you look at the forgiveness, God gave us grace. We're called to be the same, in the same type of relationship as the word says. Husbands, we should love our wives as Christ loved the church. As Christ forgives us, has suffered for us, died for us, we should be in the same way, willing to forgive the very sins, knowing that you're going to walk into things, that you're going to be wrong, that you want to be mistreated, that you're going to be, that things will be done to you regardless of the fact that you love this person, that you're beside this person, that you support this person, that you walk with this person. You're going to be wronged. They're going to make a mistake. There's going to be things that hurt you. But we have to have the grace, just as Christ, as God does for us. We have to show grace, and it's grace under fire. I mean, you're going through a situation. You feel beaten. You feel prodded. You feel poked. You feel wronged. But you have to show grace. You have to do that for your husband and wife. You have to show forgiveness, and it should be immediate. Immediate forgiveness doesn't mean that you forgot the wrong, but it means that you forgive and move on so that you can build so that the wrong doesn't continue to happen. You'll never just walk over something, because if you don't discuss it, if you don't deal with it, it's going to come up again. But I truly believe that we have to be willing to forgive one another. And just as God, as when you ask for forgiveness, God immediately forgives you. He doesn't say, well, I got to think about it for a little bit. He gives you the forgiveness right away, immediately. And we should be called to do this, and we are called to do the same thing. It may be hard, but that's the calling. That's the walk in marriage.
Amen. Amen. And we've come
we've come upon the last, I guess we got a little less than a minute left. We do have one more myth, but we're going to have to save that until for next week, and then we'll share the biblical truths of marriage. So please, you will want to join us again next week, where we'll have the biblical truths of marriage. Invite your friends, your coworkers, your family, whomever you feel may benefit from this information. Please share it with them so that they can, you know, hear what it is that's going on in marriages. If they're thinking about, you know, getting married, all of this is good information for them. So, again, we just thank you for joining us this morning. We look forward to hearing from you next week. Amen. Apostles, back to you.
Amen. Amen. Let me close out with a prayer for marriages. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we do thank you and we honor you, Lord God. We truly bless your name. And we thank you, Lord God, for this article and information that has been shared by this couple, Lord God, Elder Mark and Minister Tabika. We thank you, Father God, for what you've done in their relationship, Lord God. And we know that there are people on this line that's been married longer than them. There's those, oh God, that are on this line who have not yet been married a couple of years, Father, and that there are issues and concerns, oh God, that come up. We pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, that your Holy Spirit will breathe on these relationships, Lord. The misconceptions that we had when we walked into marriage, oh God, let those be abolished and let us learn the biblical truth about marriage. I come against a spirit of divorce and separation, Lord God, where it is not warranted, Father. I come against it in the name of Jesus. I pray for a spirit of peace to be released in these households, Lord God. I plead the blood of Jesus over the heart of man and woman, that we would receive each other as God received us. I pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that God will always be the center of our relationships, that when he is the center of the relationship, the nucleus of the relationship, it will draw us closer to one another. I thank you, Lord God, for giving us your Son that showed us unconditional love. And again, because we have the Holy Spirit living within us, excuse me, we are capable of doing the things that Jesus did. Therefore, the covenant that we made in our marriages, that we should be able to love past whatever it is that is going on. God, I thank you. I honor you. I bless you. Bless these marriages that are on this line and the marriages that these people will share this word with. May they be blessed eternally. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Amen. Beloved.
Thank you.
Real quick.
Yes, honey.
Miss Joyce has something to say real quick. I'm going to unmute her line.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay.
All I wanted to say is I thank you for a wonderful, wonderful talk. It's well worth it. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Miss Joyce.
Amen.
Look forward to hearing and talking with you next week.
All right, sir.
All righty. Oh, and listen, folks, by the way, real quick, as you're hearing from Elder Mark, as you're hearing from him, he also co-hosts with Deacon Thomas Farr. So as you are hearing from him, you're hearing part of stuff also that's discussed on issues Christian men talk. So I pray that this is an encouragement for you to get your men to listen to the show, because this man of God is definitely a regular on the show, you know, coming with godly wisdom and learning much. All of us, every single one of us, we don't come to these sessions that we have here, these discussions, thinking that we know it all. We learn as we research, as we share with you, as you share with us. heart to heart. When we get to the heart of the matter, we are learning as well. Once again, we thank you, we love you, and we'll see you back here again next Sat. No, we won't be back here next Saturday. We will have a guest host. The three of us will be in Dallas, Texas next Saturday. That's right. We will be in Dallas, Texas next Saturday. And we will be asking someone to do the show for us. Unless we end up doing it from the hotel room, but I don't think we can. I think we'll be in session at that time. We'll have it figured out. The show will be here next Saturday. Whether we're here or not, the show will be here next Saturday. So please be sure to tune back in and come in with a friend. Dial them, put them on three-way, but get them here next Saturday. You'll learn the biblical truth about marriage. All right. God bless you. Have an awesome weekend.
God bless.
Thank you for listening to Heart to Heart with Bishop Etta Banks. Heart to Heart is an outreach ministry of New Vision for Life Kingdom Builders. Please visit our ministry website at www.newvisionforlife.com. As always, beloved, I pray that God will bless you and bless you mightily. And as he does, you will turn around and bless someone else. And then that person will turn around and bless someone. Then that person will turn around and bless God Almighty for the blessings that he bestowed upon them. And then God, in his awesome and infinite wisdom, will turn around and bless you one more time because you knew what to do with the blessings he bestowed upon you. I thank God for the completion of the circle of blessings. I beseech you, therefore, in the name of Jesus, that you go forth today and be a blessing to someone. And when you do, do so on purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.